Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we were taught that our life is to be godliness with great contentment. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Foundation for the Bible stands.
Let's first see living in God-given assurance. And we see this in verses 6 through 8. There it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let's be therewith content. Now, boy, I tell you what, that's a thing that's easy to read. But a lot of times it's hard to live. See, we live in a day when human wisdom, knowledge, and invention are highly exalted, and God's wisdom and knowledge are frequently despised. So it's no wonder this civilization in which you and I live today is deteriorating rapidly. And it's my prayer that God will shine in our hearts and give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we might glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which, by the way, are God's. Now, if one has no assurance, if he does not trust God's word enough to live by its precepts and obey its commands, then he's going to be a miserable person. He'll end up probably being an adversary, even though they may be saved. It's only through the Word of God that we have His assurance. Now, remember, our direction, our life, is to be based on the Word of God, the Bible. And keep this in mind with that thought. God doesn't lie, according to Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 18, he doesn't lie, he has never lied. So God's way for our life, then, is seen in verse 6, godliness with contentment. Hey, it is great gain. Now, you remember verse 5 of this chapter says of these perverse religious people that they suppose that gain is godliness. You see, what happens with these people? They may obtain their gain, what they have desired. But it only has temporary satisfaction. They soon covet more. I know I've told this illustration before, and I believe it's been a time since I've told it, but I can remember as a high school student that the big fad down in Florida, in Bradenton, Florida, where I was living at the time, was a thing called surfer shirt. Now, the surfer shirt was something without a neck on it, but there's a pullover, like a banlon would be a pullover, but not of the banlon material, more of a just a broadcloth material, it seemed like. And it buttoned halfway down the front like a banlon shirt would, but it was a different material. And so there you had that shirt without a collar on it, and it's called a surfer shirt. And we'd wear that shirt, you know, kids wanted to buy that shirt, wear it around because that was cool. Now, the funny thing about it, though, if 2 years later you were wearing that same surfer shirt, the other kids would have made fun of you, saying, what's wrong? Did your mother make you wear that shirt today? What did you do bad at the home that your mother made you wear that shirt today? You must have really got punished. And you see, it's so funny because the shirt that we were just so proud to have, that just was going to mean everything to us, suddenly It's something that we despise. And that's the way the things of the world seem to end up. They do not bring lasting satisfaction, and you end up coveting so much more. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, we see that that's the problem with the local church of the last days. He says, "But thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" Well, the prosperity gospel freaks of this last day are now reading Christ's assessment of them. He says they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, my friend, the secret to contentment in this life is godliness. And yes, I know the Bible tells us very plainly in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not might, but shall suffer persecution. And that may lead you to ask, well, how in the world does a person like that have contentment? Well, friend, if you're right with God and bearing spiritual fruit for Him, we know you'll allow the life of Christ to flow through you. And you're going to be obedient, cleansed from sin, prayerful, and one who studies and meditates in the Word of God. It'll take much to keep you from God's house when the doors are open. But aside from those things, you're a shallow Christian at best. Are you satisfied with that? Being a shallow Christian? I can tell you right now, one day, when it's too late, you won't be. And now, little children, 1 John 2:28 says, "Abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now, some people say, well, you know, I've been here a long time. I've lived on this earth. I go to church and I tithe. And, well, I may not read my Bible and I may not witness like I should. And I may not be there on Wednesday night and I may not do this. And really start to find out that there are other things of this life and this world and of materialism that means so much more to them. So don't mistake longevity because you're still a part of the church and faithful to it. Don't mistake longevity for spirituality. True spiritual maturity can only be measured by your adherence to the truth. That is, believe and do. You realize that often those who have been saved the longest express less faith than those who are the newest converts. And, oh, what a problem that is. That's a tremendous problem. Now, because faith treats the promises of God as sure, as even if they had already been carried out, it can have contentment. For example, Matthew 5:10-12. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, you're saying persecuted? Boy, that doesn't sound like I'm blessed. But they're blessed because they know beyond any shadow of a doubt that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to say, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all matter of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, my friend, I get told all the time, you ought to get on Facebook and these other internet things, and I don't do it. I email, and that's about it, you know, and I do have some websites, news websites, and some Christian websites that I read to stay on top of things. But to be quite honest with you, I don't go to those other things. And I've had people say, "Boy, you should see what they said about you or said against you, basically. You need to be on there to read these things." Why do I want to know what bad things people are saying about me? As it is now, I'll find out some lies people have told, and boy, that just bothers me. You know, I know enough things about me that you don't have to lie. But boy, when they start spreading lies, that really bothers me. Now, it doesn't bother me as much at this age as it did when I was a young pastor. But still, you know, he said, why are they lying? If they would just watch me, they could probably pick out some things they wouldn't have to lie about. But they say all matter of evil against you falsely for the sake of the Lord. But he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Rejoice that they've reviled you, persecuted you, and said all matter of evil against you falsely for the Lord's sake. Yeah. He says, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, when Jesus says something is great, it must be great. When you read Genesis 1 and 2 and you see the creation, you see that God made, and at the end of the day, it says, and he saw that it was good, that it was good, that it was good. But here, he says, it's great. The one who created the heaven and earth, for without him was not anything made that was made. When he says something is great, oh, how great must that reward be? So, he who is godly and content in this world is sure to be right in the next. Christ said, great is your reward. It's a matter of trust, trusting the promises of God. Sometimes people say, boy, you must have a lot of courage. No, I don't think I have any courage a lot of times. It's not a matter of courage, it's a matter of trust. It's why Paul and Silas could sing in prison with their backs bleeding. They trusted in the promises of God, and they knew what God can do. Now, Christians in faith must view all material gain in this life as temporal. Thankful for what you get, but understanding you will leave it behind. Now, contentment does not mean that you do not have desires. I think of Psalms 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. But understand, if we make the Lord our delight, in that we meditate in his word to know him, and then we study his word to know and do his commandments, and seek his honor and his glory, then our desires will grow to be spiritual instead of carnal. And then our desires will be acceptable in his sight, because we'll want to do those things that please him. And so we'll desire to be able to do those things. I can remember when I was dating my wife, I was poor as a church mouse, but boy, I tried to scrape money together, and I had other needs that I even thought were needs. But if I could scrape some extra money together instead of putting them on those needs, I'd go out and buy something nice for her. Well, why would you do that? Because she was the object of my love, and I desired and I enjoyed much more giving something to her than spending it on myself. And that's what happens when you get your desires on the Lord. Then it becomes a joy to do his will. And his commandments then are not grievous to you, because you enjoy doing God's will.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.